south of the border, down Mexico way. That's where I fell in love when the stars above came out to play. And now as I wander.
Hello there, all you expat wannabes. I'm Johnny Mueller, and you're listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America, the show that tells you just what it's like to live, work, play, and or retire down here in Latin America. It's a mix of the good, the bad, the ugly, and the great, and it's all right here, so let's get started. Now, today I have to report a little bit of unsettling news. I noticed that the TripAdvisor people, of course you know who those folks are, there are millions of travelers, much like yourselves, who write reviews on places and hotels, etc., on the TripAdvisor website. When people travel, it seems everybody checks that TripAdvisor website. You could say it's the unofficial Quran, or Bible, of the traveling public. And of course, it's the TripAdvisor people who give out those nice little plaques to certain hotels and bed and breakfasts, etc., stating that their place is a top TripAdvisor destination or have received some kind of TripAdvisor award. I'm sure you've seen those things on restaurant doors, etc. Kind of a good housekeeping seal of approval. Or is it? Now, in regards to the travel industry, the TripAdvisor website is one of the most visited websites on the planet. I go there sometimes myself. That said, I have to state that oftentimes I don't agree with their ratings. In fact, oftentimes I've been at hotels and restaurants that have a so-called TripAdvisor outstanding rating. Well, let's just say somebody screwed up somewhere. I mean, come on. When a TripAdvisor gives a bed and breakfast or a restaurant its highest rating, and you see the plaque outside on the front desk, and there's no toilet paper in the bathrooms and no paper towels to wipe your hands on, well, how'd that happen? So then maybe there should be a special kind of TripAdvisor or equivalent just to review restrooms, bathrooms, and kitchens. Hey, now there's a gringo website niche if I ever heard one. But I digress as usual. That said, I'd really like to meet some of the people that give such over-the-top ratings to some of these awful, unsanitary, dirtbag joints. Sometimes I feel they've been so wrong, so off the mark, that they need a little lesson. I got it. How about a bare-ass session on a toilet in one of those scumbag hotels or restaurants that they've rated so highly? Come on, it seems to me that some traveling folks are satisfied with anything. I mean, look at the backpacker crowd. The crap and the filth and the bed bugs, etc. that they're willing to put up with. Now, that stuff frightens me. Backpackers, I've found, are some of the people that write the most glowing reviews. Now, note that most backpackers don't always travel ultra-low class all the time. They occasionally stay at 2, 3, even 4-star hotels. So you can imagine if they're used to sleeping with the cockroaches and the scorpions, if suddenly they were in a run-of-the-mill supposedly 3 or 4-star hotel. And note for you English language nitpickers out there, I said supposedly, not supposably. No B in that word. Lest my mother, the English professor, call me out on that one. Anyway, when backpackers first graduate to 3 and 4-star hotels, even when they stay in overrated mediocre ones, they often think they've died and gone to heaven. So then I guess heaven ain't what it used to be either, huh? So there you have it. You got tons of travelers out there with low standards who pretty much rave about everything. You know, extra easy to please. Sometimes I wish I was one of those people. Then again, you've got those people who complain about everything. They're the ones most likely to write a bad or even evil review on the TripAdvisor. You know, people who complain about the littlest things that most people don't even notice. You could in fact be standing right next to one as we speak. They make terrible traveling companions, but yet there are millions of them. In fact, I have a sister like that. I can hear her now. Why, Johnny, the nerve of the kitchen staff. Did you know those so-called energy bars in the mezzanine are not gluten-free? Now, for some of these irritable folks, I know there is a method to the madness. Because, you know, if you complain loud enough at the reception desk, especially when new arrivals are checking in, the management will do something to shut you up, like a free upgrade, maybe. So it seems to me you got the polar opposites writing reviews in the TripAdvisor, almost no one in the middle. Now, if you disagree with me on that, let me ask you this question. Have you ever written a review on TripAdvisor? I mean, come on, what people really have the time to write a review when a hotel is just average, mediocre, or standard? Why bother? That's what we expect most of the time, right? A little good, a little bad, a little in between. Now, I bet if any of you listeners out there ever wrote a TripAdvisor review, It was probably to beat up on some establishment, or because you happened to find chocolates on your pillow and a rose in the jacuzzi when you weren't even expecting a jacuzzi. Well, that might rate a nice comment on the TripAdvisor. Now, couldn't it? Anyway, I could talk about how TripAdvisor misses the mark all day, but the fact is, people believe them. They get a 98% positive rating from the general public, from people who view their website. But not all people love TripAdvisor. In fact, there's even a website called I Hate TripAdvisor. How about that? And who knows how many of those TripAdvisor reviews are fake? It's as easy to rip on a place just to put a dent in their business as it is to pump up some hotel or hostel and award them some undeserved points. And I understand there are even some Tor and anonymous websites where you can connect with people to write good and bad reviews of places they've never even been to. Just to mess with people, sort of revenge sites. Now, I understand in both the US and the UK, it's illegal to write a false review like that. Ha ha, what are they going to do to you and how are they going to catch you, right? I can just see some young 14-year-old Russian immigrant spammer in front of a judge in the UK facing the momentous charge of submitting a knowingly false review on TripAdvisor. For shame, for shame. 30 days in the hole. Which brings me in a roundabout way to why we're talking about TripAdvisor in the first place. Now, you longtime listeners might recall that probably around 5 years ago, round about the time I was disseminating my gringo advantage hypothesis, I wrote a little report some of you might be familiar with called My 17 Undiscovered Latin American Paradises. All of them really great places to just settle in, retire, work, whatever, and enjoy that gringo advantage. Because in those places, well off the gringo tourist trail, the gringo advantage was in full force. But that was around 5 years ago and things have changed, so I'm really going to update that report, so stay tuned for that, especially you gold expat wisdom members out there. You know who you are. Anyway, I know it's time to scratch one of my favorite paradises off the list when, all of a sudden, rags like International Living or websites and blogmasters like TripAdvisor, yes, I said TripAdvisor, start telling the world that these are the latest and greatest tourist and expat places to be. So, to my surprise, today I turned on my computer and the default Yahoo News came up, and guess what? There on the main page, TripAdvisor is rating the 10 best island resorts and destinations in the world. Guess what is number 3? Roatan, Honduras. A place that I'd been going to now for, what, 20, 25 years? In fact, the last time I was there was around 2 years ago, and even then, though it wasn't exactly bustling with tourists, I felt myself being crowded in by a certain percentage of ugly Americans, if you know what I mean, along with a greater and greater percentage of astute locals with an eye out to rip off or at least take advantage of gringos. And you know, since I went there the very first time, I think I've gone back every 2 or 3 years because it's just so cool, or was. For example, till about 5 years ago, there wasn't a single U.S. or First World franchise on the whole island. For so many years, it was just kind of a laid-back, sun-in-the-fun scuba diver and snorkeler's paradise with one of the top 10 white sand beaches in the world. Now, I know everybody thinks they know what a great white sand beach is, but do they know what a really extraordinary white sand beach is? I don't think so. Now, for you occasional travelers out there, there are white sand beaches and there are white sand beaches. Let me tell you, I've been all over the world and I've found that one can really be misled by the tourist promotional pamphlets and all the hype tourist destinations lay on you. For example, websites and tourist agencies will tell you how the Dominican Republic has some of the top 10 white sand beaches in the world, as does Nevis and St. Kitts and the Bahamas and the Virgin Islands, Aruba, Curaçao, Trinidad, and on and on. In fact, practically every Caribbean tourist destination will make that claim. Everybody says their beaches are the best in the world. Well, I'll tell you, I've been to all those places and many more. And, for example, in the case of the Dominican Republic, they are pure white sand beaches. But, like I said, there are white sand beaches and white sand beaches. And here's the story on that. You've got what you might call the coarse-grained sand white beaches, the medium-grained sand, and those rare beaches that are like powdered sugar. And there are Not very many at all in the world. And one of those beaches is on Roatan. And as for the Dominican Republic, beautiful white sand beaches are right, but they're the medium grain sand. And there are really few places in the world where you can walk 100 feet from your hotel, throw on a snorkel mask, walk out into the water only waist deep, dip your head in and see right down below you giant crabs, octopi, sea turtles, fantastic tropical colored fish, manta rays, lobsters, cuttlefish, and all kinds of stuff that you've only seen up close on Nat Geo. Now again, forget about that in places like the Dominican Republic, who are supposed to have these great white sand beaches. I've been there, I know. Sure, you've got the beautiful patches of green and blue aquamarine water. But when you walk out with your snorkel gear, there's so much less to see. The water, slightly more clouded, slightly more turbid. So on that count, I give the DR's best beaches a 7.5 to 8.5. Whereas the main beach in Roatan, about a 9.5 to a 9.8. But that was then. Now that TripAdvisor rates it number 3 in the world, I just might not be going back there anymore. It's getting more crowded, prices are up, and they've built a very touristy, prefabricated little village on a nice beach where all the cruise ships come in. Now, even 5 years ago, only 2 or 3 cruise ships came in a week. Now, you got 2 or 3 of them sitting in that harbor every single day. So is it really what you might call paradise lost? Unfortunately, I think that's about it for Roatan. It's now officially on the gringo tourist trail. Thank you, TripAdvisor and International Living. Okay, now staying on that subject of islands, beaches, and water. As I mentioned in the show a long time ago, I do get emails from people who are planning on bringing their boats down to Latin America, hooking up at a dock or marina, and living 24/7 on a beautiful bay, houseboat style. However, most of the emails and inquiries I get from people planning to do that don't have a boat yet, so it's kind of a dream, or they have a boat, but they don't know where to start. Besides that, they don't know Spanish and have certain fears about bringing it down. Okay, that said, if you remember, about 2 years ago, one of my expat wisdom attendees, Brandon, actually did bring his boat down and sailed through the Panama Canal. Now it's in the tourist and fishing business, permanently docked in San Juan del Sur, Nicaragua, where Brandon's making a pretty good go of it. Now, if I remember, I think his boat was in the 30-something foot range. And believe me, I think bringing a boat like that down by yourself is not for the faint of heart. It's a pretty nervy adventure. And not for crime or fear of the natives. It's just that you've got those big, intense, epic storms in the Caribbean. So, in order to try that trip yourself, you have to be a pretty damn good sailor. Now, that doesn't mean you can't buy a boat down here. There are hundreds, if not thousands, of them for sale all the time. You can even have one built. There are tremendous boat builders down here in Latin America, too. And, of course, there's Latin American Craigslist and other Latin buy and sell websites where all things you can think of are for sale. And much of the stuff very cheap and tremendously undervalued. However, to get on these sites, you should speak a little Spanish or you'll have trouble navigating. Anyway, it seems like a lot of you listeners, expat wannabes and gonna-bes, are thinking about doing the boat thing because, well, it is kind of a dream lifestyle, isn't it? Living the laid-back life on a boat. Now, that said, just recently, another acquaintance of mine, a 50-something guy from Montreal, Canada, a guy totally fed up with the Canadian version of Big Brother, decided to sail his, get this, 24-foot sailboat down to Central America. Yep, all the way from Montreal through the St. Lawrence Seaway, down the entire coast of the States, landing eventually in Belize, then Roatan, then mainland Honduras and Guatemala. His only other passenger? A cat. And a very small trolling motor. Now, you gotta know, this guy is a real adventurer. And he wandered out of Canada in the worst way. In fact, he mentioned he and his cat nearly died about 3 times. Storms and swells and all that, of course. Remember now, a 24-foot sailboat is just slightly longer than a double cab pickup truck. To me, this guy was braver than Columbus. Because, look, Columbus's ship, the Nina, was twice that size, about 50 foot.
Just sit right back and you'll hear a tale of a faithful trip.
Again with the 3-hour tour. How'd that get in there? Columbus wouldn't like that, I don't think. So anyway, that said, people do want to live on their boats. They want to bring them down from the States, and they need information on that. So I thought this is the perfect time and the perfect show to give you some great dope on the subject. Since one of our longtime Expat File listeners and friend, Robert, he and I have been shooting emails back and forth for some years now, while at the same time he's been firing off emails to Latin American marinas too. He's interested in living on a boat in a guarded, safe marina, with all the first world amenities, of course. Now, in Latin America, there are a lot of marina-type setups where people live on their boats. The question is, are they adequate for a gringo's particular needs and lifestyle, and what are the costs and amenities, etc.? Luckily enough, since Robert's been doing the investigating for himself, we can now give you some exact information if you're planning on doing that. So, before I get on with this email, let me mention that Robert has been looking into a specific guarded, gated marina community on the Caribbean side in Guatemala called Amatiki Bay Resort Marina. Now, the fact is, I know this place quite well. I've been there. It's kind of like a combination marina timeshare hotel project, which I know sounds kind of budgetel or Motel 6-ish, but I assure you it's not. In fact, it's upscale enough so that you might call it upper middle class or even wealthy by Latin standards, which would make it slightly upper middle class first world gringo standards. Now, Robert's been doing research on his dream of docking a boat somewhere in Latin America and living there for 24/7. And in his web searching, came up with this place, Amatiki Bay in Guatemala. A real coincidence, since I know the place quite well myself. And I know some upscale and wealthy Latins who have timeshares and units there. Now, the hotel, condo, and timeshare part are in the complex, but apart from the marina itself. Which, by the way, reinforces that lag time effect I talk about all the time. Because, you know, the timeshare thing up in the first world was dead and gone and buried, what, 25 years ago now? But down here in Latin America, in the last 5 years, they've taken off and they're alive and well, seemingly. Except for the fact that if you pick up any big Latin American newspaper, looks like some of these timeshare owners can no longer afford their little investment, or maybe they're sick of the timeshare thing like so many of us were 25 years ago, right? Because, you know, now you can pick up the big newspapers and see you can buy these things at 50 cents on the dollar. Surprise, surprise, huh? But we're talking about the marina boat slip part now, which is alive and well. So let me get on with this email. Robert says, I received further information from Amatiki Bay Resort in response to my inquiry regarding costs. It only took them a couple of months. Mañana time, huh? And here's what they sent back to me. In English, by the way. Now, before I read parts of this letter that the manager of this Amatiki Bay Resort sent to Bob, I have to mention that this is a very nice guarded community right on the Caribbean Ocean. It's pricey enough for the locals, there's no riffraff around at all. And it's about 20 minutes away from Guatemala's big Caribbean port town called Puerto Barrios. A really kind of dirty and scruffy port town, probably has about 50,000 people. But all port towns are dirty and scruffy in Latin America, so no big surprise there. But the thing is, if you live in that nice marina community and you need anything, they have everything at this port town because containers are always coming in off of ships. It's a real bustling and active community. And again, because we're way off the gringo tourist trail, things are extremely inexpensive. So it's good to know that you're close enough, yet far enough away from a pretty good-sized city where you can get anything within about a 10 or 15-minute drive. But believe me, it's no city a gringo would want to live in. It's just a dirty, scruffy port town, you know? That said, let me give you the response that comes from the manager of the Amatiki Bay Resort. The reply that Robert got about 3 months after he sent it. Anyway, it says, "Hello from Amatiki Bay Marina. Thank you for your interest in our resort. In an effort to answer your questions, I'm supplying you with the following information. Our boat slip rentals for boats is $200 a month for short term and $150 US per month if you'd like to sign a 6-month contract." Okay, let me stop for a second and comment. Now, to rent a boat slip for $150 a month sounds pretty cheap, right? Well, I can guarantee you can get it for $100 a month if you pay 6 months ahead. That's just the way things are down here. Nobody ever does that, and they're just shocked when you pull out a wad of bills and say, hey, I'll pay for 6 months, but I want a deal. Of course, that's something you'll have to do in person. Anyway, it goes on to say, our rate for electricity is 45 cents U.S. per kilowatt hour used. Now note, they're making some money there. The real rate in Guatemala is about 25 cents U.S. a kilowatt hour, so they're charging you double. If you're actually living on the boat 24-7, I still can't see that you'd use more than 100 kilowatt hours a month maximum, especially if it's just you and maybe another person. So at that, your electric charge would be about 45 bucks a month. And that's if you're really burning the midnight oil. And then the letter says, and I'm paraphrasing here, all of our boat slips are side tie, whatever that means. Our water quality at the slips is of excellent quality. Bottled water in 5-gallon containers is available to be delivered to your boat upon your request. Overnight propane refills are also available if required. The marina has free Wi-Fi too. In addition, we have scuba instruction available as well as planned dive trips and tank refills here. Showers with both hot and cold water and restrooms are located at the marina for your convenience. The marina and the entire complex have 24-hour guarded security. Our English-speaking dock master is able to handle all your check-in requirements. We are located in an insurance-certified storm-safe zone. Though we are on the Caribbean side, we are very protected against storms. Amatiki Bay Resort and Marina offer the use of our 2 on-property restaurants serving excellent quality international menu items at a very reasonable cost, prepared to your expectations by our professional chefs. Now, let me break in for a second to say that I've been to those restaurants and the dishes are around 10 or 12 bucks. And the breakfast, 3 to 5 bucks. And believe me, these restaurants are nicely appointed. Then the letter goes on to say, if you're staying at our marina, you get 15% off of all our food menus. If you have guests staying, we will give them a substantial discount if they stay at our hotel or one of our condos. The discount not applying to high season and selected holidays. We also provide an outstanding water park with 2 water slides, large adult swimming pool with a bar built into the pool, and a child swimming pool area. There is also a jungle canopy zip line that runs through the wooded part of our complex. All of our over 120 employees are here to make you feel at home and provide your every need. We have a contract taxi service on call that speaks English who'll take you to Puerto Barrios to do your shopping. Puerto Barrios offers a large modern shopping center complete with a McDonald's, large hardware store, complete supermarkets, optometrists, doctors, shopping malls, multi-screen theaters, everything you could desire 20 minutes away. Then he asks for some information about your particular boat and your electrical requirements at the slip, whether you want 220 or 110, 30 amp or 50 amp, etc. So there you have it. Now, let's do some comparables. Okay, that said, I know a lot of people with boats up in the States, and if you have an ocean marina location, let's say in Florida or Georgia or whatever, the average monthly rent on a boat slip runs from 10 to 25 bucks a lineal foot of your boat, depending, of course, on the location and the amenities of your marina. And it looks like in the case of this Amatiki Bay location, it doesn't really matter how big your boat is, to a point anyway. They don't mention it. Looks like just a flat fee. You'll pay, according to them, on a long-term rental, 150 bucks, whether you have a 12-foot boat or a 50-foot boat. Now, let's just say you have a 30-footer. Still, if you work out the math, you can see, in the States, for example, in a Florida ocean marina, you'd be paying anywhere from 300 to over 700 bucks a month in rent. And down here in Latin America, you'd be paying half of that or much less than half of that if you cut a cash deal for 6 months or more. And we're comparing that to the lowest price you could get in the States, that $10 a linear foot price. Now, of course, we're talking about a very nice marina in Guatemala, well off the gringo tourist trail. However, when you're on the gringo tourist trail, let's say Costa Rica. Now, I had a boat in Costa Rica, so I know firsthand what the costs are. In fact, on the Pacific side, between Capos and Manuel Antonio, I was paying about what the Amatiki Bay Resort in Guatemala is charging right now. Basically, about 5 bucks per lineal foot. But that was 20 plus years ago. Now, the same boat slips are going for 30 bucks a linear foot. So, 30-foot boat, 900 frickin' bucks a month. So, for all you guys and gals thinking about Costa Rica, Rent a house. $900 a month? Come on. Of course, at these luxury marinas and resorts, they throw in the water, electricity, and trash and all that. But still, come on. Even if you have a 24-foot boat at $30 a linear foot, you could rent an excellent luxury first-world-style apartment practically anywhere off the Gringo Tourist Trail for around the same price, about $700 a month. So there are some options and comparisons for you. Now, if you're thinking of bringing your boat down to a Gringo tourist spot, like Cancun or Costa Rica or Panama, whatever, they'll make you fork out a cash security deposit of anywhere from $1,000 to $2,500. Whereas in marinas off the Gringo tourist trail, you're looking at a maximum security deposit of 2 months' rent, usually just one. Oh, and by the way, in Panama and Costa Rica, there's a 13 to 15% sales tax, you know, VAT, called IVA down here. While off the Gringo tourist trail, that's normally included in the total price. So then the question is it worth it to bring your boat down and live 24/7 in a marina? I'd say if you like that kind of thing, it's one of the best retirement scenarios of all. Enough said about that. Once again, we're getting towards the end of the show, and let me repeat, my July 2015 Expat Wisdom Seminar is getting underway in about 2 months. So if you want to get in on the fun and the kind of boots-on-the-ground action you'll never get at any other seminar, I guarantee you that, just go to expatwisdom.com, click on the Latin seminar link for all the info. And again, let me repeat for all you folks who have been sending me inquiries, once you sign up, I'll be sending you a special message about every week to 2 weeks, a total of 6 messages in all, designed to answer pretty much every question you might have about the trip down. And remember, if you have any specific questions, you can send me an email at johnny@expatwisdom.com or theexpatfiles@gmail.com. Or, better yet, you can get on live with me on one of my webinars. Then you've got me for an hour live, and you can ask any questions you want about the seminar or anything else. So, by popular demand, I have been doing webinars about every 2 weeks for the last month or two, so do sign on. Just go to expatwisdom.com, and you can get in on the conversation, too. And it's free. Now a word from our special maritime guest.
I'm Popeye the Sailor Man. I'm strong to the finish, cause I eat big finish. I'm Popeye the Sailor Man.
South of the border, down Mexico way.
You've been listening to the Expat Files, living in Latin America, coming to you twice a week from somewhere south of the border. Email me, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. And don't forget to check out expatwisdom.com to sign up for your free reports on Latin America. See you next time. Nos vemos.
She was a picture in old style.